Well, these are practical things, and they all have to do with the church. I'm going to take them in the order in which Paul wrote them. I have 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 17. All right. Rejoice always. Praying without ceasing. In everything, giving thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ. I think I'd like to read that again. This is spoken to a church in the city of Thessalonica. Rejoice. Always. Praying without ceasing. In everything, giving thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ. Then, do not quench the Spirit. Did you introverts hear that? In the overriding need for privacy that is internal, I say to you, and say to you again, and I say to you again and again, you are in great danger of quenching the Spirit. Now, I have not had the time to go through all these things about how important the mouth is in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm tempted to go on to other verses, so I guess I'll just yield to this temptation. Pray without ceasing. Gene Edwards has a Edwardian theory about that. I don't think this is what Paul meant. I think he meant to pray without ceasing. Paul, you don't even remember this. We had a very religious brother in the church who decided that he was going to pray without ceasing. I'm not going to tell you what his name is, but if you're trying to figure it out, his initials were R.P. So, give you something to do while you're sitting back there. and it was impossible to be around him. He was going... Lord, I'm just so nothing, and I'm just nothing, Lord, and I just want to be here. And he just, and that's what he did all day long. He was a single brother who got married and stayed a single brother. Some years later, he was sitting in my bedroom. I was in bed, sick. He sat down. Now, he did this for a solid year. He was spending 16, 15, 14 hours a day praying. And he told me what I knew. He said, I did all of that because I did not believe in your ministry and I was trying to bring it to a halt. You should not be a Christian worker. He took a group of people out of the church and they moved to somewhere in California and I've never heard of them again. They really bought into his praying without ceasing. So this word is not a small thing with me. I'm going to tell you something that what's his name? I'll get it in a minute. Benny Hinn said to me, he said he asked, this is just a private conversation going on between us. He said he saw Oral Roberts every day. I think they're next door neighbors. And he asked Oral Roberts something about prayer. And Oral Roberts answered, my life is prayer. I immediately understood that. Nor have I in any way arrived at such a state. But I understand that everything you say and do is the Lord. But that's not the Edwardian theory, even if that's what Paul meant. I have a question to pose to you. Have you stopped praying? Now, don't anybody answer. I just pose the question. Have you stopped praying? Have you stopped praying? Now then, if you have, or you're close to it, I have a word for you. Do not stop praying. At all times, pray. Don't let praying get out of your life. And Jan, don't you like that one much better? It's got a lot less guilt in it.
Absolutely.
Rather than going 24 hours a day praying constantly. I don't think there's a human on this earth can do that on whatever looks like the surface. Either your life is a prayer, that takes a little time getting there, folks. Or the other one is, you stop praying, go back and pray. Just don't quit. So I leave that with you. The other one is giving thanks. And I'm talking to individuals, and I spoke to you about this earlier, but I want to talk to you about the church. I think there's nothing so insipid.
It's tasteless.
Something that has no salt to it. There is nothing so insipid as a meeting in which people are thanking God for what the Lord did. I think it's the hallmark of Wednesday night prayer meetings, and it's the hallmark of almost all house churches. Well, let's thank God for what He did. That is just pumping it out. I would like to move out of that and say to you that, saints, I don't know how to ask you to do this, but we need to have time of thanking God openly in the meetings. We're not going to make a ritual out of it. We're not going to say, now we're going to give thanks. But there needs to be a giving of thanks in the meeting. Get your mouths open and share with one another. We're not just here to sing and read a few verses and go home. We are here to be a very attractive lady who attracts God's needy people. We have to be a whole, whole. And that's good enough. Thank you. Now, if you can't rejoice in the worst of times, surely you cannot rejoice in the best of times. So we are given bad times in order to see if we can just really thank God, rejoice in Him. Church, we are to be part of the practice of being in the Spirit. Now, I really wish we'd had another week on just the Spirit part of this, but now, that's not true. This is the Church of Jesus Christ, and this is His body, and you're a member of it, and your joy is the Lord's joy. And the body of Christ needs all the rejoicing and thanksgiving and sharing, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Yes.
Now, this is Thessalonians. I'm going to go pick on Rogers again. Is okay, all right. Now then, I read 1 Thessalonians and read this to you, chapter 5, 16, 17, 18. 19. Is this one of his last books? Or is this one of his first books? One of his first books or his last book?
One of his first books.
Right. Well, what's it doing in the back of your Bible then? Why is it right back there with 2 Timothy?
It's
too short. That's how it got there. It was short. And they were all... It's because they're in order of length. Okay. This he said to the church in Thessalonica, and he said it at early on in his ministry, in his second journey. Now, saints, this is sacred stuff. to not quench the spirit, to rejoice, and to give thanks is what the church does. Now, what good will it do for me to say this if the brothers and sisters in Atlanta, Georgia don't sit down and face this?
Amen.
And talk about it? And ask themselves how they can make this practical in and out of the meetings.
And you should be.
Brothers, please do not waste this conference. Is own Jesus Christ being first place in everything. In our tongue, in our singing, in our rejoicing, in our giving of thanks. Please do not lose these things. Work at it. To next. Colossians 3:16. Somebody want to read it real fast? And it's amazing how much is in Colossians and Ephesians. Do not quench the spirit. There's another verse we need to read with that. And do not despise prophecy. Do you know why he put that in there? I know why he put that in there. When a brother who is not one of the workers stands on his feet and decides to share like a worker might. There is an excellent chance that someone will look down their nose at that brother. Saints, be so thankful if you have somebody in the fellowship who can talk. And who can talk about Jesus Christ. Encourage that man. All right. Who's got Colossians 3:16? Real quickly. Yes, sister.
Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom.
Okay, wait. That's what I've been saying. Now listen to what follows it. Go ahead.
With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God.
We're not here just to be a choir, a people who sing, but to admonish one another with the songs we have. And we're not playing. We really have something in a song. A psalm, a spiritual, a hymn, a spiritual, a psalm, and a song. We don't fully know what a spiritual song is. We don't fully know what a hymn is, but we do know what a psalm is. And any time Christ's own word comes out of you, we are all enriched. Brothers in Atlanta, I ask you to sit down and discuss Colossians 3:16, and start figuring out a way to practice and not stop practicing what is written here. This is for the church, but it is also for you. That you, this is more corporate than it is spiritual, than it is individual, no question about it. But brother and sister, there's a message for you in this too. And that's that we become a singing people. We be a singing people. And that we be a people who have, when we open our mouth, we open our mouths to full of Christ. Now, I'm going to do a little confessing here, not for me, but you. I watch the church beginning to speak a lot outside the meetings, and it invariably dies. I'm going to tell you why. Because of the introverts. Not that they don't do it, that they've got a little registration in them that this is coming out, that's it's artificial. Can we not share Can we not call one another holy ones? Can we not encourage one another? Last Sunday, did you watch Brother Josh encourage me?
Yes.
You remember that?
Amen.
That was as genuine and as pure as it's going to get. It's not artificial. That was not declaration. That was admonition and encouragement. And by the way, it admonished and it encouraged. I heard the Lord say something to me and that brother, and it was real. Be so rich in Christ that these encouragements and these words come to us, and they are real. I do not know if you've ever been part of, I'll try to guess what group this is. I'll not use it. And they say, "Oh Lord Jesus." And it's as artificial as a brass monkey is artificial. And yet, you know something? They never stop doing it. I think they're better off than if you don't say anything. Yeah, I know they do. They at least are making noises about Christ. But it is a ritual. I don't want you to be ritual. I want Christ to dwell in you richly and to come out of your mouth.
Praise
well,
Lord.
But Gene, I have Christ rich in me, and I don't know it.
Amen.
Unless it gets out to somebody's ears. And we had psalms for ourselves. We have songs for one another. We have, and I've asked you to be sure and read the psalms. And Atlanta, when I come see you, I'm going to talk to you about how we use psalms. You, well, we you. Not we, somebody else, but we, you. Read psalms. And saints, you are the pastor of the church you belong to. You don't have another pastor. You don't have any other reverend, but you are. Either you are admonishing and you're working at this business of Christ, or you're not. And you're going to have to do that 25 years after I'm dead. Until you yourselves are ancient people, you have to pastor the church. Now, I'm using a term I don't even believe in, but it does communicate. If you sing at home, you'll sing in the meeting. If you give thanks in the home, you'll give thanks in the meeting. If you sing a duet with Sandy Patty, if you will spend some time in the scripture throughout the week, you'll have a verse to bring, or two, or three. Now then, when I get back home to Jacksonville, we're going to deal with one thing. That's all. Jacksonville, you're doing really good. It's that insipid one-sentence prayer in the meeting. Let's see. Lord, we go up into the mountain and we do. And Lord, you're the mountain. What's the matter? Didn't you have anything to say on your own? Brother, do you not have a prayer? A psalm? Of course you do. And you work at it through the week. And then you bring it to me because I had a hard week.
Yeah.
I'm desperate. And I'm waiting for you to give me the Lord. And I promise you, I'll give you the Lord. There's hardly anything here that's corporate, but what it's also individual. There's very little here that's individual, but what it can be made corporate. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that the other coin of don't quench the Spirit? To be filled with the Spirit. Okay, what do you do then? You speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things, and do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and give it that thanks to God. All right. This is Ephesians 5:19. This is Colossians 3:16. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19. And those are the main passages we have in the New Testament, except for 1 Corinthians 14. And that pretty well does it. And I think it would be wise for all of us to read that section in 1 Corinthians 14. Now, all right, these are things that you and I are supposed to do in order to make these things possible. To rejoice, to sing, to give thanks, to not quench the Spirit, to release the Spirit, to bring a psalm, bring a song, bring a hymn, and to talk to one another with songs, and with one another with psalms, and to admonish, and to edify or build up. And help me here, Josh, what are the rest of the words here? You don't have to look this up. We talked about it. What?
Comfort.
We've got one more.
Encourage.
Yeah, encourage. Exhort. Thank you very much. I knew there was something I was overlooking. All right. And that's in every meeting. It's not just singing and a few pitiful little one-sentence prayers based on the song you just sang. Real prayers. If necessary, I warn you, Atlanta, I will ask you to go write out a prayer that means something to you and pray it in the meeting without your writing it down so that we can have something longer than, "And Lord, you're our mountain. Hallelujah." Yeah. That's the lowest common denominator of spiritual expression. You got into the meeting spiritually unprepared and somebody sang a song and you threw a grenade. And you're our mountain. That is also insipid. Saints, we must come together every year.
Amen.
To renew.
Amen.
These things. We live by revelation. Someday I'm going to be gone. And I'm expecting some brothers in this room to stand here and give you Jesus Christ till your teeth ache.
Amen.
And show you things about him you never known or dreamed. And then... I'm so sorry.
I just believe the brothers are going to do it.
Well, praise the Lord, sister. How about a sister being thrown in there, too?
Well, of course.
Of course. I want you to know something. The angels will be blessed, and they will rejoice. And then sing it.
Or read it afterwards.
Right. I think
prayers came out of that.
And then came prayers.
Yeah.
Amen. Tim Shannon, I ask you to read a song here yesterday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to sing it. Yes. And by being quick, we could take those very words and turn them into both singing and sharing and praying. I don't know what the first century Christians had, but I'm going to tell you what the 21st century Christians have. They're going to have a songbook that thick, 1,255 songs in it. And we are something of maybe 53. We will use this to talk to one another. We need this. You know why we need this? Because God chose our spirits and our lives to be strengthened by them. And these are those elements given in our hands to make Jesus Christ preeminent in our own lives and in the church. Now, if you don't agree with this, then I ask you, what else is there in the New Testament you don't like? Saints, I'm saying this to every human being in this room without exception. Deal with this, will you? Deal with it. And Jacksonville, we go back home, we're gonna take what we've already learned and we're going to do it again, and we're just going to be bigger. Making Christ preeminent in your life and making Christ preeminent in my life. And I must tell you something, if you'll get your mouth open and do these things, he'll gain ground in your life. And I talked to you this morning about my own private life, and if I shut down in these areas that I mentioned to you, I'd be way, way, way behind. These are what keep me a Christian in my private life and because I'm in the church. And you sometimes make a mistake by thinking that we are here ministering and blessing you. When we speak Christ, we are so strengthened. It is Christ who strengthens us. And there are times when we are speaking and you're getting a revelation, I'll tell you, so are we. Not everything we prepare is what comes out. Sometimes there's just this beautiful explosion of light, and you suddenly realize what the Lord's been saying to all of us. So I'm going to end this part by saying, please do not neglect the reading of Scripture. But I beg you, don't leave it there. If something is in your heart and you read this and it means something to you, will you please put it in a wheelbarrow and bring it to the meeting and tell it to the rest of us? I promise you, as a member of Christ's own body, that if it has been a help to you, it will be a help to us. Amen. We need you. I need you. We need one another. The body builds herself up by her sharing. I cannot help you. And if you say, oh, the church is really going through a dry spell, well, I grant you, it's a spell. It looks like this. It's a self-induced spell. And saints, brothers here in Atlanta, you got to come back and say, look, we're not doing what God tells us to. What are you going to do with these passages? They were written to a Greek church. They were written to a church in East Asia, an area we know virtually nothing about. And these are written also to another Greek church. Shall we not build our spiritual life on it? Do you know of any group of people in this world who come together and admonish and exhort and comfort and edify one another in the meeting with something that is living? I do not know such a people. And yet that's exactly who they were, and we call them first century Christians.